I turned to the sports page, and the Mets had blown it in the 13th inning. Papers can't make losing look like winning. I think the Phillies took it 5-4. There it was on the sports page. Only page that takes a firm position. Kind of like an honest politician. The kind you hardly find anymore. In fact, let's face it, the sports page is the only place to go when a fella wants to know the score.
It's time for another edition of the sports page. I'm John Bauer. Heidi Holton's joining us. Fred Friedman's up in the attic. And Kyle Erickson is in some sort of a Palladian-looking window situation going on there in his mansion to the east. Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning, Heidi.
Good morning.
Morning.
Okay, I am a complete failure today. I do not know what to talk about. Gophers. Both Gophers lose. It's just, we'll get to that poem. Yeah. This is a poem written by a gentleman from where, Heidi? Is it Evelus?
No, he's from Wisconsin.
That's close.
He's a listener of KAXC, KBXC, and he absolutely loves the sports page. He also is talented at writing poetry, and we feature his poetry from time to time. But here's one for you guys especially.
This is William Tecue speaking, and I wrote the following piece as a tribute to Hank Aaron. It's entitled Hammerin' Hank. Who wouldn't rather be a hammer than a nail, or be Mjolnir and nail hate into its coffin wood, or with blessed blows, as the song goes, hammer out danger, hammer out warning, hammer out love between our brothers and our sisters all over this land? If we, when we were 20, for as long as the short seconds it takes for a hit baseball to fly over a major league outfield wall, could have been Henry Aaron as a Milwaukee Brave rookie, playing the Cardinals at Sportsman Park in St. Louis, smiling only on the inside so as not to show up the pitcher, as he took his first trot around the bases and touched home plate after nailing the first home run of his career? Wouldn't we? If we, 1 year short of 21, and not yet known for being long on Homeric talent, could hear in our innermost ears his first crack of the bat, professional playing days, yet being a rookie in the game of love, knowing what it meant off the field to get to first base, but not knowing so much the meaning of the words, little things mean a lot. Kitty Callan sang everywhere on the radio in 1954. Would we, for one fastball fast moment, want to be Henry? If, after 21 years of being Hammer and Hank, still swinging a 33-ounce, 35-inches long bat, still hammering out homers, rewriting baseball's record books, and, in 1973, about to break Babe Ruth's all-time home run record, could we be number 44, receiving mountains of beanball racist mail because we did our job as well or better than anyone who ever played the game? Could we? Could we have been as heroic, as iconic, as Henry Louis Aaron, who stayed dug in the batter's box of his Herculean heart because he knew he was as much a part of our American family as mom and apple pie and peanuts and cracker jacks, even on some days when, beyond the sports pages and scoreboards, box seats and bleachers, doubleheaders and extra inning dreams, life pitched him knuckleballs? Maybe all we know, as well as we know the records of this player's player, his Hall of Fame place in baseball history, his 86 years of a life well lived, is to dig in, take our swings while we can, keep our eyes on the ball, and, like Hammer and Hank did, hammer out love between our brothers and our sisters all over this land.
Thoughts?
Song, If I Had a Hammer. Well done.
Yeah. Very well done.
For folks that don't know, Henry Aaron's first stop in the minors was over down the road in Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
Hmm. And I like the part where they say he never smiled because he held all that good stuff in. He never showed anybody up and was going through some difficult times. Matter of fact, when he hit that last home run, it was probably one of the worst times of his life eventually, just because of the pressure he faced. So thank you very much for that spectacular sports poem. You don't hear those very often. Okay, go ahead, Heidi.
Oh, I was just going to say, thanks to William Tecu for submitting that.
Okay,
thank you, William.
Yes, last night was not a good day in Minnesota sports. Gophers women crushed by a pressing defense. University of Minnesota men lost Kelcher, a good defender, and they played tough but got beat by Indiana in a very crucial game. Timberwolves, last time I checked, they lost again in the last quarter. Wild got shut out the other day. I think they had two shots in about 20 minutes. Things are not looking good right now, Kyle.
I'll qualify that, John.
Okay.
By saying that I view last night's Minnesota Timberwolves game as a perfect success.
Yeah.
And here's why. Right. We've talked about before on this show that their draft pick for this upcoming draft is top three protected, meaning that if the ping pong balls don't go their way and they don't get one of the top three picks, they lose it to Golden State.
Oh, my gosh. Jeez.
They're going nowhere this year. They're not going to be a playoff team. There's too many injuries. They're missing a couple of key pieces. What I love about last night's game and really about the way they've been playing recently is that Anthony Edwards looks to me like a star in the making. He's already, as a 19-year-old rookie, a leader on the team. He loves to get to the rim and take contact. He wants the ball in crunch time, and he almost hit a game-winning three at the buzzer. That ball was
three quarters down,
of the way down, and then it popped back out. So they're playing better together. You're seeing guys like Jalen Noel and what's the tall, lanky kid they drafted this year, McDaniel.
Yeah.
Really turning into nice complementary pieces. Towns is back healthy, and he's actually playing defense. So they've got all that, and they managed to lose the game and not hurt their draft chances.
Fred,
so I'm calling it a win.
I hear you. Do you watch?
I got to look for silver linings.
One question. What gives any of you people any confidence whatsoever that the Timberwolves will not make an annual disastrous selection and pick the wrong person?
No, I will say this, Brad. If you take the long lens, they are one of the worst drafting teams in basketball history. If you look a little shorter, Anthony Edwards, like I said, he's going to be a star. Karl Anthony Towns is a top 10 player in the league if he can stay healthy.
I believe that lens is called a monocle. It's just one.
Yes, it is.
It's reading glasses. They're reading glasses. They just need
cheaters.
To avoid. They need to avoid the Josh Okogies and not just whiff. If they do get a top three pick and they get an impact player, they're going to be really fun to watch next year.
This is a team that drafted Johnny Flynn from Syracuse who couldn't make it out of camp. Over three people who will be in the Hall of Fame.
And
speaking of the Hall of Fame, the guy that had a triple-double against the Wolves last night is the son of a Hall of Famer. Who is that, John?
I didn't even watch. Who the heck?
The Sabonis family.
For sure. Well, I think what's his name is a little bit better than Wiggins at 19 years of age.
Yes, agreed.
A little bit more enthusiasm. A little bit.
Interested in winning.
The knock from some scouts on him coming out of college was that, you know, they said he's got a low motor, doesn't seem to care about winning. I haven't seen any of that. He's been a high energy guy. He wants to pump his teammates up and really seems to want to be the best NBA player he can be, which everybody in the league has talent. It's the ones that have the talent and really have drive to want to be the best NBA player they can be that makes the difference.
Of course, Kyle, they said that the Wiggins had no interest in winning and they drafted him anyhow.
No, they didn't draft him. He was part of the Kevin Love trade.
Worse.
But after watching them, I want to say through three quarters, I was very impressed with the hustle. There was no lack of effort. Reed and all, they were diving for balls and working their butts off. They just are jinxed down at the end. And you got, that's just a maturity, but we've been saying that maturity for probably since their first season, and they got to get.
Well, the Wolves have the youngest roster in the NBA, so there's going to be some growing pains.
Yeah.
But I feel better about the young talent they've got now than the young talent they've had at any point in the past 15 years.
Speaking of immaturity, John, why don't you tell us how many road victories the Minnesota men's Gopher team has?
Oh, my God. Zero. The big egg. Nine losses in a row. What is with that?
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting, you know, assuming they don't completely crater the rest of the season when it comes tournament selection time, for the committee to look at the Gophers' resume, where they're right now, they're three games under 500, they're 6-9 in the Big Ten, but they have a bunch of what they call quadrant one wins over the best teams in the country, which is supposedly one of the heaviest weighting factors in getting an invitation to the NCAA tournament. But they also weight, how did you play away from home, where, as Fred just said, they haven't won a game yet in the conference.
Quadrant one. I've never heard that. Heidi, what's your opinion on the women's basketball team? Do you watch them, or are you just strictly a Lynxer?
Yeah, I haven't been. Nope.
Who'd they play? Rutgers? Was it Rutgers? Anyway, whoever it was, they pressed. Oh, my gosh. They couldn't even get the ball in at times. So they got a long ways to go as well. Wild had 13 players out with COVID. They're back. They look like a minor league team. So what do we got looking? Pitchers and catchers reporting?
Yeah, talk about poetry this morning. Pitchers and catchers report. Huh?
Yeah.
So I think there's an article in the papers today that the Twins have three catchers and they're two pitchers short. Even Lavelle Bell, Twins writer, optimist, says we're at least two pitchers short.
Well, hey, they signed Matt Shoemaker to a one-year deal, and he had a really nice year in 2014. So
all these guys had great years.
Hope springs eternal, right?
And how about the kid? Usually we're talking about kids can't get out of the Caribbean, you know, visa issues. Now we got a guy in North Brattleford, Saskatchewan,
yeah,
that can't get out of the country. Alberts.
Yeah, so explain to me how NHL hockey teams can fly across and play in Canada, but yet the border is closed.
Yeah, I've always wondered how that works. We got to bring in some Canadian authority to explain.
Yeah, so we should. That's a good plan. Now we should have Heidi explain the trivia.
Can I throw one thing out there? So we didn't talk much about the Super Bowl after it happened because it was a really busy week with other stuff going on.
Oh, boy, here we go.
But yesterday, I think it was yesterday, Serena Williams lost a Grand Slam final, which is really pulling for her to win. But it reminded me of a conversation I had with some friends following the Super Bowl about, now that Tom Brady has seven titles and all these records and everything, where does he fit in the mythical best pro athlete ever conversation? So just plant a seed. You guys can think about it. Maybe we can talk about that next week. There's no right answer, but Serena Williams, I don't know if a lot of people know this, has the most Grand Slam singles titles of any player in the Open era. And she's one of the best athletes ever. So you've got Michael Jordan, you've got Tom Brady, you've got Williams. You know, you can talk hockey. Is it Gretzky? Is it Orr? Is it Howe? Plant that seed for next week.
Kyle, you haven't mentioned the athlete that changed, that made sports a national deal. You haven't changed far and away the person that contributed the most to American culture and sports. George Herman Ruth, it's not even close. Affecting American culture, not even close.
My opinion on Tom Brady is that I don't consider him an incredible athlete. I consider him extremely smart and fortunate to have a great offensive line.
Great, quick decision.
Yeah, yep. It's brilliant.
Great, quick decision.
Okay, speaking of brilliant, Heidi, are any of these designed for myself and Kyle, or should we just...
I do want to mention, I did get information this week from the senior correspondent about Gopher volleyball. They're 8-0. That's a good thing to be watching. And the women's basketball, they are the Gophers 7-9, 6-8 in the Big Ten. Gophers women's hockey is doing well. And this weekend, Minnesota's going to Bemidji for two hockey games against BSU. It's the last regular season games for both teams. There's 19 Minnesotans on the BSU roster.
And so,
Gophers men's hockey is ranked in the top five after a lot of lean years.
And then Paige Becker had another 20-point game. I think that's like 10 in a row or has never been done before, something like that.
Ridiculous.
All right. Here we go. We're going a little different this time. Okay. What sport originated in the Basque country in northern Spain and is popular, especially among gamblers in many Spanish-speaking countries and Florida?
Highlight?
Yeah, there we go.
Nice job, John.
Last week, two Iron Range school districts, Hibbing and Virginia Area District, now known as Rock Ridge, announced they will form teams to compete in what new high school sport?
Lacrosse?
Kyle?
Esports? Archery?
Ski shooting?
Mountain biking.
Oh, mountain biking.
Very good.
The Minnesota High School Cycling League has grown from 151 cyclists on 16 teams in 2012 to 2,135 riders on 80 teams.
Wow.
Now. Okay, so due to the pandemic, organizers of the rescheduled Tokyo Olympics have announced that it will ban hugs, high fives, and other unnecessary forms of physical contact. In keeping with previous Olympic precautions, organizers were also provided no cost what items for residents of the Olympic Village?
Hmm.
Hello.
Don't care.
Hint is for necessary physical contact.
Well, I know that they've handed out condoms.
There we go. 150,000 condoms going out. In an exhibition game on this date in 1967, what legendary pitcher who never played in the major leagues struck out six consecutive big leaguers, including Mari Wills and future Hall of Famers Willie Mays, Willie McCovey, Brooks Robinson, Harmon Killebrew, and Roberto Clemente?
What year, 1967?
Eddie Fahner?
Yep. There we go.
Very good.
Larry Walker is the latest of nine former Montreal Expos elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame. Who are the three who played 10 or more seasons with the Expos?
Well, Guerrero, for sure.
No?
Tim Raines.
Yep.
Andre Dawson.
Yep.
Gary Carter.
Yep. There we go. Those are the three.
That's good. Oh.
Good job.
All right, so this is JB and KE first. Larry Walker is only the second Canadian-born Hall of Famer. Who was the first?
Oh, boy.
No clues. Absolutely none.
Fred's got it.
His hands raised.
Ferguson Jenkins.
Yep, there you
go.
Wow.
Where was he born, Fred?
Somewhere in Ontario, Central Ontario, somewhere between Toronto and London.
How much did he weigh? Fred, I got a long email from someone said, tell me about this Fred Friedman. What's his story? Was he like a Division I super athlete? Did he play sports?
Just a guy.
I said, just a guy that's got a brain as big as Texas.
Just a guy, practiced a lot, a UMD professor. Hey, for people that are bored today, senior correspondent and I talked early this morning on people that are bored today, that are lonely, like all of us. If you need something to do and you follow baseball for free, you don't have to pay a dime, YouTube today is showing over and over and over again Game 7 of the 1952 World Series, Brooklyn versus the Yankees. You don't need a penny to do it. Just go to YouTube, hit 52 World Series Game 7, and you can watch it for free.
And you might need some glasses because it's a little bit grainy.
And baggy pants.
And baggy pants, yeah. Well, we will see it tomorrow or next week, you guys. Thanks a lot.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.